So excited to be with you guys this morning. As you know, we're in a season of graduation, and congratulations to all the 2022 graduates, whether it was high school, trade school, GED, college, it does not matter. Congratulations for completing. Yeah, church, can we give our graduates some praise? So excited. I can remember when I graduated, I blinked. And I'm almost 40. Good God, time moves fast. I'm excited, man. Daniel read out of Psalms 139 this morning. You know, one thing I love about David is that David is just honest, right? He just pours out before God. No matter what he's experiencing, no matter what he's going through, no matter how bad it looks, he gives God not only his pretty, but he gives God his ugly. He gives God the soft prayers and he gives God the hard prayers. And it lets us know that God can handle it. God can handle any and everything that we're going through, right? And we see that through the life of David. And that particular text that Daniel, look, I'm going back and forth, Daniel and David, but the particular text that Daniel was reading this morning about David. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. Come on. You have searched me, God, and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up, meaning you know everything about me. You know where I go, God. You know where I be at, God. You know my sitting down and rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. Come on. The good thoughts, the bad thoughts, thoughts we shouldn't be thinking. God, you know my thoughts afar off. And you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. That's a reminder to us this morning that there is nothing about you and I that God does not already know. There's nothing about my going that God does not already know. There's nothing about my future. There's nothing about my mind and my thoughts that God does not already know. You know the beauty of that is now when I go to him in prayer, I can be honest with God. I can be forthright with God. I can be vulnerable before a holy God because why? He already knows it. He knows me. Come on. Is that not freeing? That's not, we can take off the mask. We can take off this mask that maybe we put on before the world, this mask of protection, and we can come before our God and say, God, just as I am, God, I'm feeling this way, God. I'm feeling like this today, God. I'm going through this today, God. And God, he sees us, he knows us, and yet he still loves us. Ain't that a good God? Come on, I know only a few of you feel me this morning because you ain't really probably poured out like you need to before God. But God can handle your ugly. God can handle your bad. And I encourage you through that text this morning to pour yourself out before God. David stayed free like that. Amen? I want to pick up our text this morning. If you've been following us, if you've been reading with us this morning, you know we're going into 1 Kings. But this morning, you know, last couple of weeks, Pastor Joe has been ministering through the life of David. And so I'm going to pick up not far from where he has been ministering. I'm reminded today that many times in life, we stumble into certain things. Life isn't always, you know, X, Y, and Z. It should go this way. Live long enough. Anybody with me this morning? And maybe some of our elders in the house can tell some of our young graduates in the house, if you live long enough, things won't work out completely as you plan, right? And maybe that's a seed sown into our young people, is that not everything works out the way you plan. The majority of the things that I'm doing in my life at almost 40, I never planned to do at 18. Come on, somebody. I didn't wake up in my childhood or as a young adult, 18, 19, 20, 23, 24, 25, and want to be a hospice chaplain. I didn't wake up saying, I want to pray for people that's about to exit into eternity. But I didn't expect that. If my 18-year-old self could see me now, he'd be like, man, I don't know where you been. and who you've been with. But you might want to go the other way, and we would have to have a little conversation. I didn't think coming out of high school that one day at some point through the pushing of my wife, finish college, but go back to school to get a master's degree in theology. 18-year-old Daryl says, "What? You went to school, back to school to do what?" I didn't think coming out of high school that God's plan for me would be a pastor. That was never in my a pastor. Most of the time, I was sleeping in the back of church. And my mama looking at me all wild, pinching me. Never in my wildest dreams. Sometimes life, as we go with life and as there's room and margin for God, sometimes things happen that are unexpected. See, God, though, I may have not expected certain things, but God had a plan. Come on, somebody. God sees what we can't see. God sees further down the road. And so God will use my little pieces to begin to create a puzzle for what it is that he desires for our life. See, sometimes in this life, we never know what or how things will lead to another. David had no idea that killing the bear would lead to killing the lion. He was living. David had no idea that killing the bear would kill him. David had no idea that killing the lion would ultimately lead to slaying a giant. There has to be a light bulb that goes off that says, "I think I know, but God, I give room for you. God, I'm going in this direction, but I understand that you could flip the script on me at any time. God, I see the bumps in the valleys in my walkway, come on, but yet you still order my footsteps." David was just a shepherd boy, was he not? What was David? I was thinking to myself this morning, what was David as a shepherd boy dreaming about as he was with those sheep? Maybe he was dreaming about nothing. Maybe that was just life for him and he was engaged in it. Maybe David wanted to be the best shepherd in the land. I don't know. Sometimes feel a little different because today we despise small beginnings. We don't really care for the small beginnings. Our culture has taught us for the grand things right out the gate, that there's no preparation for anything, that as soon as I'm ready to go to the top, I can go to the top. There's no barrier. There's no preparation. There's no getting ready for that. It's almost like I deserve to be at the top of the chain instead of going through some preparation. We want our life to look like our social media reels, right? But I want to say that we cannot look down on small beginnings. We cannot look down on God's preparation for our life. And what seems insignificant now may be God's training for your life. What seems insignificant now may be the very training that God is taking you through, the very preparation that God is bringing you through that will thrust you into your destiny, thrust you into the things that God has destined and called for your life. Maybe it's the insignificant things, the things that you have not thought or seen as important, the things that have been asked of you that has not seemed high and mighty. Maybe it is those things that are preparing us for what God has called us to do. The age-old question in the house of God with mostly every believer, God, what is my purpose? Everybody that walks with God at some point or another has asked that question. God, what it is you want me to do? God, what is my purpose, Lord? It seems like a question that we can't run. It might be one of the if there was a ranking of questions, that might be at the top. God, what is my purpose? See, being anointed. See, David was privately anointed by Samuel. Being anointed, I'm about to say something that you've heard all the time, does not mean that it is the time of appointment. Because God has come and poured the oil on you, because God has come and sent somebody to declare a word of the Lord over your life that you shall do X, Y, and Z, and you shall be this, that, and the other, because you have been anointed in that moment, does not mean the time of appointment has come. There is a time between the word of the Lord, I call it the in-between, the time between the word of the Lord and the fulfillment of the Lord upon your life, that you have to walk in the in-between to get to where God says you're going. The in-between is the preparation. The in-between is the training. David's anointing in private did not mean he was ready for his future. There was training. When David fought Goliath is when his entire life changed. You can be anointed. Come on, somebody. Come on. You can be anointed and frustrated. Come on. Come on. Come on. I know I'm not the only one that's been there. You can be anointed and frustrated. You can have God's plan. You can have God's oil on your life and still not see your circumstances change. Come on, you sit through an anointed service. Man, a woman of God comes and lay hands on you. Thus saith the Lord. And you still got to go home to the frustration. You can come to church, praise, worship out of your shoes, and the lights still be off at home. Anointed. Car still not working, but you anointed. Bills still stacked to the roof, but you're anointed. And the question that we have to ask is, how can I be this anointed and this frustrated at the same time? The anointing does not guarantee that you won't be frustrated. What changed David's life was not the anointing that was over his life. Because David was anointed and went back to the same things that he was doing before. He went back to shepherding. He was anointed, went back to his job. Word over his life went back to the pipe yard. Word over his life went back to welding. Word on his life went back offshore. Word over his life went back to working at the grocery store. I don't know what it is. Who am I talking to? Come on, somebody. David was anointed and went back to his job. Has anyone ever had a word of the Lord come to them? And God sent someone to declare something over your life, and the Lord said and declared what he desired for your life, and now you're living in the in-between. Anybody been there? Come on, am I talking to anybody? Okay, a few people. Let me tell you something. If you haven't been there, you're gonna come to that point. When the oil of God gets poured upon your life, and things have been declared, and you get so excited. You writing that thing down. Oh my God, you said this and that and the other, and now you gotta walk out the in-between. Now you got to walk out the in-between. And David had to go and walk out that in-between. Anointed and now frustrated. Anointed and still having to go back to what has not changed. Stay with me. We're going to get there. What changed David's life? It was when he fought Goliath. What will stop you? What will stop many is that people don't like to fight. A lot of folk don't like to fight. As soon as the fight come to you, you start running. As soon as life gets hard, I take off. As soon as a hard season come, a season that God comes to build me up, a season that God brings upon my life for training, a season that God brings upon my life that's part of my destiny, that's part of the anointing that has been spoken or poured or declared over my life, a season of tough times will come. And what do people? Some people do? They run. So it takes longer in the in-between to get here because you didn't want the training here. I wanted the easy season. I wanted the plush season. I wanted the season of overflow. I wanted the season of prosperity. I wanted the season where everything that I believe that God wants to do, and all the good things. But as soon as I come upon a hard season, man, this can't be God's will for my life. This is too much. But could it be that this is training for the appointment? Come on, somebody. Could that tough season that you've entered in where things are hard and you feel the pressing over your life and you don't feel like you can do this and you don't feel like you can do that and you feel like you're stuck in between a rock and a hard place, maybe it is that place that is training for your appointment. I can remember a many of day sitting in the back of a pipe yard thinking to myself, God, is this your plan for my life? Me and Sarah was freshly married. I was working for an oil company in New Iberia. And those hours, come on, brothers, those hours get late. The sun, I'm watching the sun go down. Anointed of God. Thinking to myself, God, how long? How long? How long? How long this God? Going home to Sarah, thinking to myself, I don't know. This is where we are. This is what it looked like, not knowing that this was preparation for that. And for those who sit in the back of your proverbial pipe yard asking, how long, God? How long before I walk into the things that have been declared over my life, the things that not only somebody else said, but things that have aligned with what you have spoken in my spirit, God, right? It's not just about, you know, God confirms that thing. So what somebody has spoken, what has been declared in your life, and it's confirmed, you know it's confirmed. So now you're in the in-between, and you come into the hearts. How long, God? How long? Has anybody, come on, am I the only one that has walked down that road? Come on, how long, God? Come on, ask your neighbor, how long, God? How long, God? But the fight. There was a fight that came to David. There was a fight that David was prepared for. There was a fight that David didn't know was coming, that the fights in the in-between prepared him for. There was a fight that would change his life, that the fight with the bear, the fight with the lion prepared him for. There was a fight in David's pipe yard that prepared him for his future. And it's this fight, come on, you got to catch this. It's this fight that changes a destiny. It's this fight that changes a generation. It's this fight that changes your children's destiny. It is this fight that changes your lineage. It's a fight that's coming to your life. You can't skip that season. It's some season, I don't know any seasons that you can really skip over. You ever try to skip a grade without doing the work? There's seasons in our life you can't skip over. They're not gonna pass you to the next grade. They're not going, God not going to see the past performances and say, you're going to skip this and you're going straight. There's some seasons that you got to walk through that God says, because the giants that you're going to fight in that season, you need this season. You need this season today, because what's coming down the road for you, my brother? So you can't see it, but God, what's coming down the road for you? You need these little giants in this season. You need the bear. You need the lion because Goliath is down the road. You need this moment right here. And so we don't skip seasons as believers. Come on, we face them head on. We face the hard seasons. You know how we do it? We do it with one another. We don't isolate, right? Because the first time a hard season comes, what we want to do? We want to isolate, right? You be in your prayer closet, isolated unto yourself. And there is a time to be in your prayer closet, but there's a time to be encouraged by your brother and sister in the faith. There's a time for people to walk with it, that you're going to be all right. Because guess what? There is nothing new under the sun. Doctor probably been through all the seasons that I'm going through, or going to go through, or can speak to him because he's seen somebody go through it. And I need that encouragement, right? And so we don't isolate when the hard seasons come. We face them, and we allow our brothers and sisters, because God uses his people. A lot of times we want God to come down and write on the wall. God has done, Jesus has done what he was going to do. He ain't dying again. That's done with. He sent the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to do what he do. And God has us to speak into one another's lives, to encourage, to build. That's why we don't forsake the assembly. We don't forsake this because we come in here in our most holy faith to lift each other up, to worship our God, to encourage. Have you ever had anyone come up to you and say, man, just watching you worship, I'm encouraged in my faith. Watching you do this, watching you do that, I'm encouraged in my. Sometimes people who don't have the faith to do or they're in a tough season, they watch you and are lifted up because of your faith, are lifted up because of how you have encouraged them, lifted up because of how you love. Don't think that people ain't watching you. We're able to lift each other up in our most holy faith. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. There's a fight. There's a fight. There's a fight coming to you. There's a fight coming that will change it all. And what we have to realize is that David was stepping into a paradigm shift. Everything would change with this fight. The blessing for David was Goliath. Goliath was David's greatest blessing. Some may say Goliath was David's greatest fight, but I say Goliath was David's greatest blessing. Come on, we going. What is crazy is that David, and this is where we're going to get to the point here. What is crazy is that David comes to fight Goliath, but he doesn't know that he is coming to fight Goliath. Come on, we're going to open up our Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 13 through 17. David is going to fight Goliath and doesn't know he's going to fight Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 13 through 17. And it says, the three oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. And David was the youngest. And the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then, here we go. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of the dried grain. That's a ephah is a measurement. It's a bushel. Take now for your brothers a bushel of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brother's camp. Now Saul, catch the picture. Now Saul and all the men of Israel were in this valley fighting with the Philistines. They were fighting with the Philistines, their age-old enemy, and they were fighting with these Philistines, and David was not sent to fight. He was sent to serve. His job was to bring his brothers lunch. Oh, y'all missed that. David did not go to fight. He went to serve. Everybody wants to talk about what's in his bag. Everybody wants to talk about the rocks in his bag. I want to talk about the bushel. Because his father didn't send him to take the rocks to slay Goliath. His father sent him to the battlefield to bring the bushel. Because it was the bushel, come on, somebody. It was the bushel, come on. It was the bushel that brought David to the blessing. Come on. Y'all got to catch this. It was the bushel that showed him. It was the bushel that showed him what the bag of rocks was all about. David shows up to the battlefield not to fight Goliath, but to serve his brothers grain. That says 10 loaves and cheese. Our problem, come on, I'm going to press a little bit. Our problem is that everybody wants to bring the bag of stones. But until you find your bushel, you can't find your bag of stones. Everybody wants to lead. Come on, don't be mad at me. Nobody wants to serve. Everybody wants to be in control. Nobody wants to submit. Everybody wants to be the boss. Nobody wants to follow the directions. And we need a generation of people who will find your place of service in your bushel. Because it's in your bushel. It's in your place of service unto God that you will find your blessing. Come on, can we give God some praise? Come on. Come on. I need to find my bushel. David does not get called to fight. Jesse doesn't say, son, it looks like we're losing. And we need more men, David. I need you to come up out of that field because we need more men. We're losing out here. I need you to go down and help your brothers fight. That's not what Jesse is saying. In many words, Jesse is saying, you're not even one of them. You bring some lunch. David's small in stature. He wasn't looking like a warrior. You bring the lunch, David. And it wasn't until his faithfulness in doing what he was charged to do. David didn't show up thinking, man, I killed lions and bears. Man, where that giant at? I wish he would. You don't see my resume? You don't see the degrees that's on this resume? You don't see my work experience? I show up to this field with lions and bears on my resume, and y'all scared of this giant out here? Is that how David don't show up like that? David's father said, bring him some lunch. Come serve. Go serve your brothers. Go serve your brothers. Until he could be trusted to carry the bushel as if it was important as the bag of rocks, he would never find and discover the power of the five stones. It's until the bushel, bringing the bushel to those that appeared greater. And that's part of the problem that we have in the body of Christ, is that everybody wants to compete. Nobody who's going to serve their brother. Everybody sighs, because that's what human nature does. We size each other up. Well, how does he preach? And how does she sing? And, oh, I can sing like that. I just need an opportunity. I can preach like that, but they won't let me up there. Until you can serve your brother, without feeling like you have to compete with your brother. Until you can steward the bushel, God can't trust you with the bag of rocks. It was not the bag of rocks, the smooth stones that brought him to his destiny. It was the simple bushel of bringing lunch to the bigger guys. That don't feel good. Because we always feel like we're part of the bigger guys. Right? Don't you say I ain't. Don't you say I'm not part of this group over here. I'm just as anointed. I'm just as called. Why am I going to show up and bring lunch, Doc? I'm coming to preach like y'all. I'm coming to do this. I'm coming to do that. And it's not until David stewarded that bushel. It's not until, come on, he has come to serve someone else. The discovery is that in the process of serving someone else, hear me, in the process of serving someone else, he discovers himself. He serves someone else and discovers himself. He discovers who he is by helping someone else with who they are. Okay. His destiny, his miracle, his placement could never be revealed until he served someone that he saw that was greater. We always feel like we're on the same levels. And pride, what it is pride. Pride will make one feel like I can't serve and push my brother forward. You know, one of the first things that the Lord spoke to me when me and my wife came to this church? Whatever that man of God needs, if it's in your willpower to do it for him. That's what God spoke to me. You know what the first thing that I did when I got to this church? It wasn't this. I showed up here hurt. I was on the other side of hurt a little bit. If there's a mountain of hurt, I was like coming down. It had been a long way up. Ms. Margaret, it was a long way up. But I was on this side. I was coming down. We show up to this body enjoying the anointing and the presence of God. I had no intention on getting back into pastoral ministry. I just wanted to find a good place for my family. That's all I wanted. Pastor Joe asked me, "Hey man, you run the lights for Christmas?" Sure. I found my bushel. Not my platform. I found a bushel. So I climbed up that wobbly scaffold. And I put my hands to that big light that I had never done something like that before. And I went home to my wife, telling her, "I hope I don't destroy these people's Christmas with a crazy light." And every time I would go up in that scaffold, and it's quiet, and they're trying to practice for the play, all of a sudden I hear at the bottom of the scaffold, Pastor Joe climbing up. I say all that to say, find your bushel. Don't look for your platform. Don't look for the word that was spoken. What God has spoken over your life, it shall come to pass. You don't need to make it happen. You need to find your bushel and serve where God has called you to serve. Now, here's the kicker. Everybody wants to serve the man and woman of God. But we got to serve who and where God has saying serve. I didn't come here initially thinking, "Well, I'm coming to this church. I'm going to serve Pastor Joe. That's who I'm going to." Pastor Travis, I don't want to talk to you. I don't even know who was all on the staff when I got here. David, I don't need to talk. That's how people do. They come somewhere with an agenda. They come and they want to get close to the pastor as possible. That's not how you find your bushel. That is not how you serve where God is saying. I didn't come trying to get close. It was afterwards. It wasn't until afterwards where the Lord spoke whatever he asked. But God trusted me in the scaffold first. This bushel will lead to this bushel, will lead to the 10 loaves, will lead to the cheese, will lead to your destiny. Come on, you believe that? Come on, let's keep building. Let's keep building. His destiny, his miracle, his placement was revealed through his serving. Hear this. When God is going to use you in a mighty way, he will give you the bushel before he unlocks the power of your bag. Let's go a little deeper. The son of David. Oh, man, Jesus. Jesus, the son of David. What Jesus didn't do. Jesus shows up, not coming in, riding on a horse. Jesus shows up, not with angels, hundreds of thousands of angels in his earthly appearance. Instead, Jesus, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, hidden in a poor place, come on, doing the mundane things. It was like Philippians said it like this. He took upon himself a form of a what? Servant. He didn't come as a king. He didn't come as the captain of the ship. He didn't come as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He came as the lamb. And the problem with the religious folk is they was looking high when they should have been looking low. They were looking too high. They were looking for the Messiah, the one that would come and destroy the kingdoms, and they would get their reparations. They would get their just due. But the problem was they were looking too high when they should have been looking low. God flipped the script on everybody. He came as a servant. It says in Philippians that he found it not robbery to stay equal with God, but he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself. And I'm dealing with my pride. I can't humble myself. This bushel isn't enough. We got to check our pride. We got to check our pride. We got to check our pride. David brought lunch to his brothers. And David was his brother's king. David brought lunch to his brothers. And he would be their king. And when it would all be over, come on, the brothers he was bringing lunch to would be serving the one who brought the lunch. My last point, don't despise God's preparation because you don't understand it. David was too young to be in the army. He was too young to be in the army, too unimportant to stand with his brothers and defend the nation. He was just bringing the bushel. He was just bringing the 10 loaves. He was just the cheese bringer. He was just bringing the bushel of grain. He was just bringing the 10 loaves. Can we connect with that? I know some people say, oh, that's the Bible. Don't interject yourself. You're not David. And that's another story. You ain't Goliath. But does not God, can't we not see the character of God here? Have you ever been in a place where it was you, all I'm doing, I'm just bringing the bushel. I'm just bringing the 10 loaves. I'm not old enough yet. Maybe I'm not this or I'm not that yet. And what God has asked me to do was to bring the 10 loaves. God has not asked me to show up with my bag of rocks. Maybe God is saying, show up with the bushel. Pastors asked for the bushel. show up with the bushel. They asked for the 10 loaves. Bring the 10 loaves. Our service. I know I'm not the only one that's ever felt like that. Unimportant. Anointed. Come on. Anointed. The calling of God, you know it's on your life. You know what God has declared that you shall do for his kingdom. But the door ain't open. The time isn't appointed. And all God has asked you to do is bring the bread. Perhaps he feels that everyone else has a role, a rank, and all he was asked to do was pack the lunch. Your brothers in Christ have been given the sword, trained and acknowledged while you are in the kitchen. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. Armed, come on. You somewhere in the kitchen, your brother's got that sharp sword and you in the kitchen with the butter knife. God, what is this? How did I get here? You got the butter knife, selection of some grain, bread, and the cheese, and you're just there to serve. They didn't even call you there to fight. Didn't even call you in the fight. You anointed, but they didn't call you to fight. God had another plan for David. And God prepared him while he was babysitting the sheep. He was training him. He was training David to be fierce. Come on. Come on. Don't despise small beginnings. He was training him in that field to be fearless, faithful, and formidable. Not on the battlefield. That's not where he trained David. He trained him in the field while he was by himself. Don't get mad when God sends you in isolation to work on. Sends you in isolation to sharpen his gifts in your life. Sends you in isolation. Come on, he's just working you. I'm working you, son. I'm working you, daughter. I'm working you in isolation. Because when I release you, because that's what he does, he releases us into the fight. When I release you into the fight, I'm not tiptoeing in front of no Goliath. I'm not tiptoeing in front of no man, because what I have been through in private with God has prepared me to slay every giant that I shall face. And there is no giant, no demonic spirit, no demonic appointment over my life, over my family's life, over my friend, over the body of Christ that shall stand. Why? Because I have been built up in my most holy faith by way of the bushel. So when I get my ammunition and it's time for the fight, I don't need a bunch of shots. That's right. I don't need a bunch of shots. Faithful. He was fearless and he was formidable. Worship team, can you help me? Come on, we're going to bring this home. Y'all receiving this? Okay. David found his bushel. David found his bushel carrying duties that it positioned him in front of a giant. David's bushel carrying duties would position him in front of the giant. What's the saying say? If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. God, I'm in the kitchen And I know I don't have the sword yet. I got this butter knife. I got this dried grain. I got these 10 loaves. And I got the cheese. And I'm going to go serve my brothers. Because they fighting right now. And this is how I serve the kingdom right now. The kingdom may not be asking me right now for my 5 smooth stones. The kingdom right now might not be asking me for my sword. What the kingdom is asking me right now is to serve my brothers who's in the fight. That don't mean I won't be there. I'm doing my part. Are we not the what? Body of Christ? Earlier this month, me and Pastor Joe was having some conversation about the care ministry. And I was telling him how I was feeling, like just kind of my struggle. It's like, man, Pastor, I feel like I'm playing from behind. I'm constantly trying to catch up. And in that moment, he imparted some wisdom to me. And the wisdom that he imparted to me made my pride rise up. It didn't feel too good. He didn't say nothing wild. He didn't say nothing that was disrespectful or anything. He just said something out of observation. And my pride rose up because pride says, I want to be great at everything. Pride says that I want to be the hands and the fingers. Pride says I want to be the legs and the feet and the toes. God, do everything through me. I can do it all. There's no weakness in me. And he didn't know in that moment he was speaking to my pride. And I'll tell you what he said. He said, Daryl, you're a heart guy. You need an administrator. And I went home, I was like, Sarah, I can send emails and I can do those. I was like puffed up in my pride. He didn't say nothing. He was like, Daryl, you're a heart guy. You need to get an administrator. You need to use your time doing other things. And my pride said, and that's what it does, what happens in the body of Christ. There's a time to hold the bushel and let your brothers fight. And if and when God calls you to a sword, it'll be the right time. Until then, you operate in the parameters that God has placed for your life and stop fantasizing. Stop fantasizing over somebody else's gift, over platforms, over being at this and doing that. Be present with your bushel. Little did I know. Y'all know Pastor Joe. He throw stuff out there and go about his business. He ain't thinking. A couple days later, I said, Pastor Joe, like, I just got set free. You ain't even. He's like, huh? Got set free. Because it spoke to my pride that I did not have to be everything, that I could lean on somebody else. I can lean on somebody else where I'm weak at. I can lean on somebody else where these things aren't my strengths. And what it does is when I can lean on somebody else, it frees me up to be who God has called me to be. And now I'm not weighted down with things that I really don't care about, that takes a lot of my time, and I'm completely out of the anointing. If I got to type up like a bunch, even typing up one email, it's like, oh man, I ain't got no anointing on my life for that. David, I'm my boy. Hey, look, the AC went out in my house yesterday, right? And I thought one of my friends said, I have a friend living in New York, and it was like 90 degrees in New York the other day, and he posted on Facebook, he was like, this is not my ministry. This heat is not my ministry. Typing emails and all that kind of stuff is not my ministry. But guess what? It's somebody's ministry. It's somebody's ministry. And it doesn't mean that it's your ministry forever.
Come on.
God mean that God didn't call David to keep the bushel for the rest of his life. David was a king. He was a king. Isn't that how we think sometimes? Because I'm doing this, I will always do this. And we got to think not like that. Like, God, I'm carrying this bushel. Tomorrow, I don't know what I may be carrying. But I am following you, God. And you have anointed me to do this in this season. This is what I'm doing. Guess what? You know what else? My bushel is being a hospice chaplain. Where's my wife at? Oh, she can tell you. She'd be on binding. I bind the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. We ain't gonna live over our life in our house like that. It's a, like, that's heavy stuff. People always say to me, that's a calling. That's my bushel. I'm not called to be a hospice chaplain. This is my bushel. Everything God calls you to do in a season doesn't mean that when that's the big picture over your life. I'm telling you right now, don't come up to me telling me, man, I'm called to hospice chaplaincy, because I'm not. I'm called to it in this season. This is the bushel I'm carrying it. And you know why you say that I'm called to it? Because I carry it well. And that's not out of pride. I don't say that out of pride. This is what the kingdom has given me to do. Until God calls me to something else, you will look and see and think, man, he called to that because I don't know how he could do that because you ain't called to it. This ain't your bushel. I always tell people, be able to do this and that. Don't let nobody box you into something, right? I'm doing this because this is a bushel. My bag looked completely different. David's bag was complete. David was king. The Messiah would come through his lineage, and he was found in farmland taking care of sheep. And the same people that would come up to me and say, man, that hospice stuff is a calling on your life, would be the same people that would go to David and say, man, you called to them sheep. David wasn't called to them sheep. He was being trained by those sheep. Do you understand the level of training I've received by praying for people at the end of their life? There's nothing, and hear me, this is not pride. Hear me. There is nothing that I don't feel like I can't do in the Lord because of hospice training. Because of walking, I've seen more people die than most will probably see in a couple of lifetimes. Training ground. The bushel is training ground for your bag. I'm closing. God is preparing you in secret, and he will use your serving to take down every enemy. And you may look like you only have a bushel of grain. You may look like you only have 10 loaves. You may only look like you're carrying cheese. But God is busy making you a giant slayer in the spirit. You got to know it. And what's more is that your bushel is positioning you for victory. You receive that? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. My prayer as we close Today I really felt the soberness of the Lord. Because I think it's important, especially in the times we live in, that we don't look to our left, we don't look to our right, but we keep our eyes stayed and focused on God and what He is calling us to do. And it's a struggle because everything is clamoring for our attention. Everything is, so many things are pulling at our attention, and we find ourselves here and there, and man, I see this and I see that, and I'm a dabble here and I'm a dabble there. And my prayer for us in this room today, if you haven't already, that you find your bushel, that you find what those 10 loaves are, that you find what that cheese is, so that you can serve well. I don't know where that is. I don't know what that is. I don't have a particular thought in mind. It could be somewhere at this church. It could be somewhere or something in the community. I don't know what that is. But you have to discover what that is with God. And when you find your bushel, you serve it so well, because God is calling you to that right now. But don't forget that the bushel will always lead you to your 5 smooth stones. And that God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about the things that He's spoken into your life. God has not forgotten about the things that He has declared. He shall come and get the treasure that He has placed in you. He will come for it unto His glory, unto His honor. Can I pray for you this morning? If that word, if that was for you this morning, and I don't care where you are, what stage of life you're in, whether you're freshly out of high school or in middle school or young adult, elder, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we find our bushel and serve the kingdom well. With every hand extended to heaven. Father, my prayer today, God, is as we seek You, God, beyond all things, God, You would reveal unto us, God, what our bushel is. What is our service unto You, God, that will reveal the bag of stones, Lord God. God, I pray today, Lord God, that we not place You in a box, Lord God, but we, Lord God, allow our minds to be free to receive from You, God, whatever it is that You send us with, Lord God. If it's bread, let it be bread. But whatever it is, God, we open our hands wildly and say, God, give me my bushel. Just begin to ask God right now, God, give me my bushel, God, that I may serve Your kingdom well. Father, I thank You right now, Lord God. Anoint Your people, God, every person in here, Lord God. Anoint them, God, for the season of life, Lord God, that they find themselves, God, that they may finish well, Lord God, whatever it is that You have called them to, Lord God, knowing that where I am today will not be where I will be tomorrow, and that I am anointed of God, and the appointment of God is coming, and that while I'm in the in-between, I will serve You well, God. Father, today, give Your people, give us strength, God. Give us strength to serve well, Lord God, no matter what You've called us to in the body of Christ, Lord God. May we serve it well, Father. I thank You, Lord God, today. In Jesus' name, can we give God a hand clap of praise in His house? Before I let you go today, I just want to take the time. If there's anyone in this house that has not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I encourage you, I beg and plead with you that you don't leave this place without putting your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, without making him the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never prayed a prayer of faith, please come see me. Come see me. Come see me after service. I want to pray for you. If you never made the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, come and see me. I think we'll have some people up here praying, some of our prayer people praying after service. But if you need prayer to receive the Lord as your Lord and Savior, come talk to me after service. I want to pray for you. Amen. Father God, I thank you for your people today, Lord God. God, have your way, Lord God. Do in us this week as you desire to do, God. I thank you, Lord God, for the anointing, for your calling upon your people, Lord God, to glorify your name. Father, have your way. Lord God, bless your people coming and going this week. Bless our endeavors. Bless businesses, Lord God. Bless those who are in school or getting ready to go to college and all those things, whatever we're putting our hands to, God. I ask that you bless. You speak, Lord God. Have your way, God, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. One more time, let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning.